It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
This is WWE Superstar Roman Reigns, and you are listening to Wrestling Inside the Ropes podcast with James Stewart and Mike Riley, two great members of the Kowloon crew. Mike, remember, this is Jay Stu's yard, brother.
My apologies to the listeners out there and to Mike Riley for missing last week's podcast recording. I spent the better part of last weekend at a medical facility, as Vince McMahon would call it. But here we are now. This week we will have two episodes of Wrestling Inside the Ropes. One right now about the news of the last week or so. And later this week, July 7th, we'll be dropping a Bash at the Beach 1996 watch-along episode, because it is the 25-year anniversary of when Hulk Hogan turned to the dark side. For this week, Mike Riley, I think the lead story in pro wrestling the last 2 weeks or so is the return of Edge. Edge returned on SmackDown on June 25th to confront Roman Reigns. And in short order, it was announced that Edge will battle Roman Reigns for the Universal Championship at Money in the Bank on July 18th. In front of live fans in Fort Worth, Texas. Mike, I think the Edge return is a little too soon, but when I look at the legit challenger grid, the list of top good guys to fight Roman Reigns right now, It feels kind of thin. What do you think?
Yeah, well, first of all, Jimmy, it's good to have you back and glad that you're doing much better. So that's positive news for everyone here. And for Edge, though, yeah, I like the move here for Edge. Now, if we hadn't seen Edge, I'd say in over a year, then I'd be like, all right, we could have waited here. But we just saw him. He won the Royal Rumble. He had a good match at WrestleMania in the main event with Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns. And the only two other superstars that are looming for Roman Reigns' opponents are John Cena and Brock Lesnar. And then, of course, the ultimate one, The Rock. So I think this is a fantastic prelude to those three right there. And no particular order. Well, definitely The Rock. We're going to go with him in WrestleMania. I think everyone agrees on that. But I think it would be fantastic. You have Edge right here at Money in the Bank. If John Cena doesn't come through for SummerSlam, you could have a grudge match of Roman and Edge. And then you could save Brock Lesnar for Survivor Series potentially. There's a lot of things to work in that situation, but for Edge to come back here, Money in the Bank, first one for the crowd, I like it. I think it's best for business, and it's going to be, it's a match that should have happened at WrestleMania 101. They're going to build up on that right there, obviously. And that is the, it's perfect situation here for everyone involved, fans especially.
So I think Edge is back because the fans are coming back. I think Edge is the major name to put in front of them right now for this situation for Money in the Bank. And Edge, on paper, has a better chance than many to win the Universal Championship. Now, I don't think he's going to beat Roman, but when looking at the WrestleMania 37 main event, Edge had Roman beat a few times, and I'm using my air quotes when I say beat. Mm-hmm. Daniel Bryan broke up the crossface with the leg of the chair across Roman's face. The same spot, by the way, that you saw Edge put Jimmy Uso in on Friday Night SmackDown. Daniel Bryan pulled referee Charles Robinson out of the ring following an Edge spear and pinfall attempt on Roman Reigns. So those are two of the details that Edge can have a legitimate claim that if it's a one-on-one match and not a triple threat match, he's beaten Roman and he's won the Universal Championship. And there's also a moment where you kind of see Roman kind of tapping at Edge's leg when both Bryan and Edge have the crossface yes lock on Roman. And that wasn't to signify a tap out. That was like, guys, you're actually like hurting me and hurting me a lot. You're like lighten up a little bit. And then they got out of it and they moved forward.
Right.
So Money in the Bank. So that's the backstory build up to this one-on-one match that Edge is finally going to get. And I know people who thought that Edge was going to win WrestleMania and dethrone Roman, at least short term.
Mm-hmm.
And
maybe in one of them.
Yeah. And that's a perfectly valid prediction to make because WrestleMania has, generally speaking, the happy ending. Mm-hmm. The happy ending for WrestleMania this year was night one when Bianca Belair defeated Sasha Banks to win the SmackDown Women's Championship.
Yep.
But the 40-year-old wrestling grizzled veteran that I am thinks this is all too soon to have Edge coming back. I was responding to a question and answer tweet a week or so ago about the path for Roman Reigns. It was our buddy Elliot from Boston.
Yep.
And he's like, what's Roman's path? Book Roman through WrestleMania. And I had Edge as the one-on-one matchup for the Royal Rumble. Mm-hmm. I didn't think it would be Money in the Bank, but here we are. And again, the world and the wrestling world is just at a different pace than I might be at in my traditional wrestling. But this is a big match, and it's a big match for now. And the world being at this pace of let's just blow our stack now, and we'll figure out what to do next after the fact.
Yep.
So that's all there. We assume that John Cena is the SummerSlam opponent because John Cena has said in various media that he's not done with WWE and WWE isn't done with him.
Right.
So we'll see where this Edge match goes, and then we'll figure out the rest later, as I think the WWE's thinking.
Yeah, and you know, and again, to not look too far down the line, but to also look too far down the line too, again, for Roman Reigns right here, pending he does win all of those matches that I, you know, we talk about Edge and then John Cena and then potentially Brock Lesnar, then sure, you get The Rock right there. It's just, it's fascinating to me to think, is Roman Reigns going to beat The Rock? And if he does, what's after that? Like, what else can be done? That's where you have so much opportunity to just work around this character that they've built up over the last year, coming up on it now, head of the table, the top heel, I'd say, in all of pro wrestling right now. And it's just really, it makes you think that he may actually go unbeaten here the whole time and even knock down The Rock. I mean, you got to figure The Rock would be the guy to come back to knock him off. But I don't know. I wouldn't be shocked if Roman's the guy to hold on to this title for a long time now.
So there's John Cena looming over Roman for SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm.
So John Cena's not going to beat Roman, I don't think.
I can't see it happening.
So Roman Reigns did an interview with Peter Rosenberg in New York. Hot 97, I think, is what they're calling their ESPN affiliate.
Okay.
It's the Michael Kay show. Rosenberg's part of it, the whole nine yards. So Rosenberg did 40 minutes with Roman Reigns to promote that WWE is coming back to Madison Square Garden.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter asked Roman who the next guy potentially could be. And Roman, without hesitation, said Drew McIntyre.
Ooh.
So they've had their match. They had the match at Survivor Series last year where it was WWE champion against Universal champion. And Roman choked out Drew McIntyre. Nice, easy way to beat McIntyre. You have a decisive finish. McIntyre isn't hurt by losing to Roman Reigns. So fast forward, if McIntyre gets drafted to SmackDown, I'm going to assume that he's not going to win Money in the Bank. I'm going to assume that he's not going to cash in on Brock at at SummerSlam because Brock will have beaten Bobby Lashley. Let's assume that that stuff doesn't happen. They just draft McIntyre to SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
Keep those two apart until you need to put them together. So whenever you want to put the title on McIntyre, that's when you really start the build for Roman. Because if Roman feels that way, and we all feel strongly that Vince years ago, Drew McIntyre is the chosen one.
Mm-hmm.
And now fast forward with all the story that and all the real life items that Drew McIntyre has overcome, that McIntyre is going to be put in a position to be the flag bearer for WWE on SmackDown. And that to me, I think if I'm projecting it out, he's the closest one as far as the regulars that can do it. I think right now you never know if Big E gets hot, there's an option right there. There's a couple different details, but we're still the bigger point, Mike, is we're still projecting Roman losing the championship a year from now, potentially.
Right. Which is crazy.
Unless something happens.
Yep.
Which I kind of like. I kind of like and I kind of hate. Like, I'm a Roman guy. I want Roman to stack the Mysterios, win the tag belts, and hand them to the Usos. Right? That's the Carl. That's our buddy Carl's.
Carl Hayes, the man.
You know, which I loved.
Yeah, the big CH.
Yep. And there's also this cloud recently of Seth Rollins hanging over the Universal Championship and specifically hanging over Edge.
Right, right.
Because we all think, the internet thinks, that Seth Rollins and Edge is going to be a SummerSlam match.
You could do that, or you could also make it even a three-way match, too. I mean, Roman had a successful three-way match. Edge did, too, at WrestleMania. Seth Rollins, he works well with anyone, so you could very easily make that a triple-threat match at SummerSlam, too. If John Cena is not to show up, like I said, as a backup plan right there. But if you are to get Cena and Roman, then sure, that's an easy layup right there. Seth Rollins and Edge one-on-one. But Rollins here, though, that's the wild card. It comes out of nowhere sort of deal where it's projected for Roman Reigns right there. And how do you fit him into the equation? And obviously the history of the Shield and so forth. There's a lot at play right now here for the Roman Reigns situation. And for the foreseeable future, he will be the champion. But the question is, like, will he be the champion after WrestleMania, or will he, finally lose that right there? That's what we're looking at from the grand scheme of things right now, I think, as fans.
And the thing about it is that this is why they stopped counting at the Royal Rumble in the Last Man Standing match when it's Roman against Kevin Owens. Once Roman loses, he loses the Universal Championship, he loses the head of the table thing, and then it's like, what's next for Roman?
Where does it go?
And so that's why I think he was so protected there, and that's why they just stopped counting.
Yeah,
because they like in the moment, and I probably said at the time, like, sure, have Kevin Owens win the cage match. Sure, have Kevin Owens win at the Rumble, just to have that quick little breakup.
Yep.
But if they have that break in the story and in the lineage of the title,
yep,
that slows down and that stops everything. And so they couldn't do it, and that's why they stopped counting. That's why they didn't do a quick switch. That's
right.
That's why it has played out as it has played out.
Exactly.
But as far as, like, if I'm booking out Roman, like, here's Edge at Money in the Bank, Cena at SummerSlam, you've got Seth Rollins looming, you've still got Bill Goldberg.
Right.
There's a match there with Goldberg.
Yep, that could be a Royal Rumble.
We're talking about Roman. You've probably got Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
If Brock Lesnar is the WWE champion, that's a match at Survivor Series.
Yep.
So, like, you've got Big E, who's on the uptick, who should be on the uptick.
Yeah.
So you've got intermediate opponents here, and there's enough star power, but, like, it's who's going to actually do it, and that's the part that's really thin. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's a year from now, here comes John Moxley back, and he's not Dean Ambrose.
Yeah.
He's John Moxley.
Yep.
And he's got that dangerous edge to him.
Or you know what? It just happens, say, the night after WrestleMania, right? You could put Roman on there for Raw the night after WrestleMania, and that could be your takeaway right there. Just shock the world on that right there with the full crowd back at that point. That could be a situation, too. So there's just so much at play. It's fascinating. And fantasy booking is awesome. I love how we're doing that right now. But a lot of power players out there, and we're going to see how this whole forecast pans out here for SummerSlam, which is next up after Money in the Bank. Money in the Bank, 2.5 weeks, not less than 2 weeks away.
Yeah, 2 weeks away. Money in the Bank.
It's going to be great.
The 18th. The 18th.
So, a welcome back, fans.
Yep. And yep.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
So I know that as we transition to next on my agenda,
yep.
I know that many people don't watch Raw or they just DVR Raw.
Yeah.
But I hope that people watch the Kofi Kingston promo on Raw. In short, Kofi defended people hating on Xavier Woods, and he said he would beat Lashley for the WWE Championship at Money in the Bank. Now, I don't think that's going to happen, but Kofi's still got that passion. He's still got that feel like, for the crowd, and you know, there's no crowd, but he's got that internal emotion, that passion for the business. And that's why he's a credible promo. He's a credible challenger here. And it led to him saying that he was going to beat Lashley, led to MVP coming out. And Kofi told MVP that Lashley isn't the killer he could be due to MVP always kind of wanting to party. And Kofi said point blank that Lashley has become soft. It's worth mentioning that on May 17th's edition of Raw, which you probably didn't watch, and I'm not saying you, Mike Riley, I'm saying you, the listener out there.
Yep.
Kofi pinned Lashley. So even if I don't think that Kofi's going to win the WWE Championship, Bruce, Michael Hayes, the WWE creative team has done a nice enough job in hyping this match and creating the idea that Bobby Lashley could lose to Kofi Kingston, because it has happened before. And Kofi's so strong on the microphone, and these little clues that are happening that, you know, the end of the almighty era is coming. Now, I think it's going to be to Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam. Mm-hmm. But in the short term, for Money in the Bank, Kofi getting a return match for the WWE Championship, I dig it, man. I dig it. And I think it'll be good. I think it'll be really good.
This brought me back to pre-WrestleMania 35, Kofi Mania, same feel to it, Jimmy. Short-term storytelling here, easy to go into a Money in the Bank pay-per-view. Emotional standpoint, as you said, dig it. It is really important here for Kofi to have that shot right there, like he did at WrestleMania 35. Of course, winning in New York against Daniel Bryan, and this time here around with Bobby Lashley. That promo was one of the best promos of all time for Kofi Kingston. Maybe the right at his peak right there. Fantastic. There's a reason why he was a champion before. He's showing why he could be again. And, you know, for Bobby Lashley here, yeah, he's going to be the heavy favorite. Brock Lesnar, he's talked about that, even talked to you about it here, about facing Brock Lesnar down the line. Looks like that's going to come to fruition here at SummerSlam. But the fact that
who knew that I was going to be doing it, a conversation with Bobby Lashley, and I'd be pulling the audio clip of it like 3 years later.
Was it 3 years ago? Is that what it was?
It was about that. It was around this time, actually. I was supposed to talk to Matt Hardy and then get switched to Bobby Lashley.
It's not a bad one. Yeah. So, I mean, but, you know, the fact
I think I annoyed him in the moment when I was like, you know, how do you feel your connection is with the WWE universe? I don't think he liked that one very much.
Well, you know what? At least you gave him a good question.
He's
though.
Fine. I dropped Sean Grandy's name and then he became my friend. Sean Grandy did Bellator when Lashley was in Bellator.
Oh, okay. There you go. All right. And I just think that for Kofi here, it's like I said, short-term story, perfect. Investing the fan right there. There is a chance for Kofi to win. I mean, that'll be awesome if he did. And sure as heck enough, if he did go up against Brock Lesnar, you could go off of that storyline. Hey, Brock, you beat me in 5 seconds at SmackDown, the inaugural
eight
one.
Seconds.
Eight, yeah. What, you know, so you can get, I'll it's try okay. to get, I'll get you back. I'll get you back, yeah. Brock. So there's a couple ways you can look at it here, but, Kofi would be awesome to win this match here, but he did an unbelievable job in the microphone. Best promo he's done in a long, long time. And the New Day, they're tag team now. That's no more three man. So it's a big thing to try to inject a little more life into the tag team for them.
Mike, I don't want your answer on this.
Yeah.
Because we're gonna dive into Money in the Bank next week.
Can't wait.
But here's my question I want you to think about for next week.
Okay.
How would you feel about New Day being in a feud against each other? Don't answer.
Okay.
Just give it some thought.
All right.
I think this is going to play into Money in the Bank, and I want to save this for the Money in the Bank preview show. But
all right.
Think about that. How do you feel about New Day potentially being in a feud with each other? Don't answer.
And I'll be asking you the same thing, too. I want your answer on that, too.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Do you, Mike Riley, have any more reporting do you, Mike Riley, have any more reporting as far as it comes to WWE events coming to TD Garden?
Well, the latest I heard last week was that WWE Raw was scheduled to be at the TD Garden on Monday, September 13th. It's all but official. It's ready to go in writing here. Because Madison Square Garden is going to host the SmackDown the Friday before. And from the people I spoke to, that Raw was all but official, on the 13th of September, which is the Monday following Labor Day. So they're just waiting for official promotional material to be announced, probably as early as this week after the 4th of July. But that's the plan right now, September 13th. And, you know, do their Northeast tour, probably have New York on Friday, maybe Hartford or Worcester. I don't know if that's official or not, but you probably get one of those two on Saturday, Sunday for the house show. And then, of course, to Boston on Monday. So that's the thing. Now, the other thing, do you want some Royal Rumble information?
That was my next question. Do you have a Royal Rumble update?
Well, the other thing I got out of this here is that WWE still feels bad about the situation with SummerSlam being nixed in Boston in 2020, of course, because of the pandemic. So they feel as though that they owe a major pay-per-view back to Boston. And that's why the Royal Rumble is still on the table for 2022. The only thing going against Boston here are two things going against them. One, the size, where they know they could cash in on a larger audience, where in the past, baseball fields at Houston and Arizona for the Royal Rumble, and that has started to become the trend here. The other thing, too, I know they've done this in the past, but they could use Boston. It was brought up that the winter weather could be a factor, too. Now, I know they had Philadelphia a couple of years ago, and that didn't really matter, but that seems to be a lame duck, an excuse potentially if they don't go with Boston for the Royal Rumble. So if they don't get it, they're probably going to use, too risky for the weather. I wouldn't be shocked if that's what we get out of this here. But
And the weather has actually canceled shows in the Northeast before.
That's right.
And I remember this because it was either Raw or SmackDown when they were doing Monday, Tuesday. I was supposed to talk to Seth Rollins on one of those days. He was going to come in studio.
Uh-huh.
And it was postponed. The two shows were postponed, and they had to do studio tapes.
Now, the other thing, too, to take into consideration here for the Royal Rumble, it's typically that last Sunday of January.
Yeah, it's the week between the AFC Championship game and the Super Bowl for football fans.
Okay, but as you know, the Super Bowl has been pushed back a week this year because of the 17th game added in the NFL. Yep. So there's a very good chance that the Royal Rumble could indeed be the first Sunday of February.
Lovely.
So don't be surprised. I have no issue with that. That's beautiful, right?
Break that up actually the probably. I don't know if that might help it. I don't know. The seasons are wonky. I mean, 50, it's the 4th of July weekend and it's downpouring.
40 degrees. Yeah.
So it's, you know.
But here's the other thing. Here's the kicker. If Boston is to get it, the announcement would be made at that September 13th Raw for the Royal Rumble. So we'll
save
see.
Your money for the $2,000 front row ticket.
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully it comes through. Hopefully, let's just put it this way. It's on the table.
Yep.
And maybe we'll have the head of the table there.
You know, he'll still be the Universal Champion then.
That's right.
So the other kind of scheduling thing is AEW moved their Wednesday night, September 8th event at Aganis Arena, which is at BU, to October 27th.
Why?
So again, they're pushing things back. So I had thought that they had a hold in Chicago. They're going to spend a whole week in Chicago.
Oh,
have two
okay.
Dynamites there, the pay-per-view. All that stuff. Mm. So when they moved to Gannis Arena to September 8th, I was like, well, that doesn't make sense.
Mm.
And then they have since bumped it to October 27th. So
honestly, I'm kind of glad about that being in the Boston area, Jimmy, because that's the show after the pay-per-view. And, you know, I'd rather get a show going into a pay-per-view, more of a build-up. So that'll be before the November one. What is that? All Out? No, not All Out. Oh gosh, what's the November?
Full Gear.
Full Gear, thank you. Yeah. All Out September. Yeah. Yeah. So
All Out is in Chicago. Full Gear is in St. Louis, I believe.
Yep. And like you and I were just talking about off the air too. I was just in Chicago this week. I would totally go to a pay-per-view in Chicago. What a great city.
Oh, I love Chicago. I hope to go back there this Labor Day. I don't think it's gonna happen.
Yeah.
But I had such a blast. In 2019 when I went out there for AEW's crowning of Chris Jericho as their new world champion, StarCast was great. Just everything was Gibson yep. Steakhouse was great. I had some deep dish pizza. Like,
yep.
Just
great place.
I love Chicago.
Yep.
And this Boston is not was closer to Chicago.
This is not a paid advertisement for the city of Chicago, too, by the way. But if they want to send a check, send it to Mike Riley and James Stewart.
Yeah. So AEW Dynamite this week, in building to their Chicago pay-per-view main event, it looks like it's going to be Adam Hangman Page fighting Kenny Omega for the AEW championship. I think the story that AEW is going to start telling us and has started telling us is that Hangman Page is kind of suffering from confidence loss and might be scared of challenging Kenny Omega. My concern is, And the crowd will be forgiving of this because this AEW crowd loves Hangman Page. Is the people who don't know the full Hangman Page story are going to see him as a less than the creative is going to give us. So if he's having confidence issues, I don't see how that helps. Like when we watched the last AEW pay-per-view, first match out, hot start, crowd in Jacksonville loved him and everything he did. Speaking of the Chicago crowd, back when he was fighting Chris Jericho for the AEW championship, that Chicago crowd, a lot of them, maybe not a lot of them, they all loved Hangman Page.
Yeah.
And then Jericho came out and it was a little split, but like I think a lot of people thought Adam Page was going to win the world title against Chris Jericho. And I didn't, because I thought Jericho was the short-term play and da-da-da-da-da. We don't have to go through that. But I say all that to say this. As we talk right now, as we're recording 4th of July weekend,
mm-hmm.
I think Adam Page is going to beat Kenny Omega and become the new AEW world champion.
Labor Day weekend.
As we talk Labor Day weekend, I think Adam, I'm going to say this in a nice, clear and loud voice. Labor Day weekend in Chicago, Adam Page is going to beat Kenny Omega for the AEW championship. That's what I think is going to happen.
Nice.
And then Adam Hangman Page is going to go on a run as AEW champion.
Mm. Well, you know, for Kenny Omega here, obviously with the Belt Collector, Jungle Boy, Moose, Moxley, Phoenix, Rich Swann, all of the matches he's had since becoming the champion, a great run here. I would love to see Hangman get a good run and beat his former tag team partner after the turn against him there. I think that'd be great. My only thing is, I thought about this with Kenny Omega and the fact that he's become that Belt Collector and, you know, just holding on to that, becoming a really good heel in the AEW. It just feels like he is AEW's answer to Roman Reigns, to what Roman Reigns is. He's what AEW is for them right there. And I think it would be great for Hangman to get a run, but I also won't be shocked if Kenny Omega holds on to the titles, possibly as long as Roman Reigns is the Universal Champion. It just feels like that they're looking at him to be the top guy in the promotion, just like Roman Reigns is, to have that value for him. And now he's at the top of the food chain here, ride the hot hand. I wouldn't be shocked if Kenny Omega holds that title till, say, 2022, early 2022.
So here's kind of my feeling on this. Like, I feel like Tony Khan wants to be a year early, and not a year early, but he wants to get the title off of X before X gets stale.
Okay.
That's how I feel. Like, Jericho had a less than 200-day run, and when Moxley beat him, I was like, oh, Moxley beat him. And then you find out Jericho was actually going to go on tour, and then the pandemic happened.
Right.
When they announced Moxley and Omega for that December show, I kind of felt like Omega was going to get the title off him, but I kind of thought that they were going to wait until February to do it.
Yeah.
And it was their first TV world title switch. And now we're at a point where Omega's beat a bunch of guys. And so Page makes logical sense for the long-term story that they are telling with Kenny Omega and Adam Page, and they were the champs, and Omega beat Page to get his crack at Moxley. Mm-hmm. It just feels like they don't waste opportunities like this. So if it's not Adam Page, then who beats Kenny Omega?
Right.
And I don't have that answer at the moment.
Well, you know, and now hearing you out here too,
because Jungle Boy just lost on that Saturday Night Show.
Right.
And Jungle Boy isn't ready to be the world champion, even though he's the first AEW competitor to get to 50 wins.
Right.
But he showed enough there where in a year, you're going to say, Jungle Boy, put it on him.
He's on his way. That was a big step.
In the same way, MJF lost to Moxley.
Well,
so if I want to play that out a little bit, Adam Page drops the belt to MJF.
I was just going to say that on the opposite end of things right there.
In 200 days.
Okay, fine. Yeah. Yeah.
So we're talking. So if we play this out, Omega loses to Adam Page in September, the September pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're going to get to the February pay-per-view Revolution, or you're going to get to Double or Nothing, and MJF is going to beat Adam Page.
Yep.
Because it feels like it's just the pacing of how they position, how Tony Khan books the world champions.
Right.
Is I want to be early on getting the title switch rather than late.
And there is your answer right there. So you talk about the Omega situation, and yes, if Page wins, then MJF take it off him. Enter Jungle Boy to challenge MJF when the right. So yep. He's ready to go. So that's a perfect spot for him right there. I think that'd be great if Hangman does beat Kenny Omega at the pay-per-view Labor Day weekend in Chicago. Regardless, though, the build-up to it there, it's got the potential to be one of the best stories that fans have seen in a while. And, Jimmy, I think we can both agree that AEW, definitely, they're ready for the challenge on that.
Yeah, and AEW's back on Wednesday consistently now.
Yep.
They did like 800,000 viewers. So they didn't lose their audience. I think their audience was just watching it differently when it was Friday night at 10 o'clock, Saturday night at 8 o'clock. Their audience found the show. I think that they'll settle in. They'll be back on Wednesdays. And then, you know, when the switch happens to TBS, they'll go from there.
Yeah.
One other thing that I feel like AEW is building towards is it feels like that Chicago show is going to be MJF versus Jericho in a career match.
Ooh.
That's just a vibe that I get.
Hmm.
And I kind of feel like they're going to start this rampage. Jericho was on commentary the other night, and Tony Khan alluded to the fact that there's going to be an AEW top star who's going to be on commentary for that rampage show, that 10 o'clock on Friday night show.
Yep.
I think it's going to be Chris Jericho. I don't know anything. I think it's going to be Chris Jericho because Jericho's pretty banged up right now.
Mm.
And Jericho's book just officially came out. And Jericho strikes me as the type of person who, when he's done, he knows he's done.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to say that Jericho's never going to work again. But as far as he's already on a limited schedule, If MJF beats Jericho in Chicago and it is a career match, it'll probably be a year until you see Jericho fight again. Maybe it's at another Stadium Stampede match where he can be a part of it. But if you just kind of look at how Jericho's been working lately and the fact that he's been injured, I think this might be Jericho's last fight, second to last fight, third to last fight, something along those lines.
Yeah. He's on the back nine. There's no hiding behind that. And maybe he will get a little extra pep in a step after meeting the great Tom Brady, of course, this past week. You saw that picture with him there at the airport, right? Get on the TB12 situation there. So
Tom, finish the thought, Mike.
No, I'm just saying, yeah, maybe Brady will give him a little help there. What were you going to say, though?
Tom Brady looked like he wanted nothing to do with that photo.
He really did. Like, he, no smile on his face, nothing. And maybe Brady's not a wrestling fan, but come on, Brady, put a smile on your face, dude. Sheesh. I mean, everyone knows who you are, football fan or not. They know who Tom Brady is. There's probably, just three-quarters of the world that knows Jericho, because there's a lot of people that don't watch wrestling. I'm sorry. Everyone knows who Hulk Hogan is, you know, The Rock, things like that. But I'm sorry, not everyone knows. Put a smile on your face, Brady. That pissed me off too. I didn't like that. So
it didn't annoy me. I just looked at it and I was like, oh, Tom Brady wants nothing to do with this photo because Chris Jericho is a fan and Tom Brady is kind of like, who are you?
Well, maybe Brady knows that, you know, he's under ownership with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Or maybe it's not a matter of like, who are you? But it's like, yeah, I kind of know who you are, but I'm just kind of not interested in talking right now. You never know, but
there's
a photo that I just texted you.
Yeah, okay.
That somebody had sent me, and I kind of passed it along to a few people.
Okay.
And it reminds me of a lot of these Alexa Bliss photos. So in the era of meet and greets, there would be these guys who would take weird photos with Alexa Bliss, and it almost came like an internet laughing thing. So, so this particular photo was taken at Wizard World.
Yep.
And the gentleman, and I use that term loosely.
What the hell is Wizard World?
Wizard World is it's like a Comic-Con.
Oh, okay. I thought it was like a theme park or something. Like, what?
No, it's probably called Wizard something else.
Okay.
It's called Wizard World.
Okay.
So Wizard World is like a fan convention where it crosses over Marvel characters and
it's in pro Chicago.
Wrestlers. And they have one in Chicago. They have one like Tri-Stardust conventions. And what was the convention that was in Rhode Island? It was New England Wrestle Fest or something like that.
New England Comic Con, third largest in the world.
That's exactly it. Same idea.
Yep.
So this gentleman took a picture with Alexa Bliss. And Alexa Bliss has this look on her face like, I hate the fact that I have to take this photo, but this person paid the money. So the kicker to the story, don't worry, I'm building towards it. This is a year in building. Mm. The t-shirt that this gentleman is wearing says, I shaved my balls for this. And Alexa Bliss is in this photo and she either wants to laugh or she's uncomfortable or whatever, but it's the same type of energy of this Chris Jericho, Tom Brady photo.
Yeah.
Like Alexa Bliss wants nothing to do with this photo. Tom Brady wants nothing to do with this photo. And it made me laugh. And it's more of a visual, and hopefully I described it well, but I probably didn't. So.
Well, Brady just also looks cold, too. Like, you know, Jericho's putting his arm around his back. Brady just has his arms behind his back. No physical interaction with Jericho there. Alexa Bliss, you're right, kind of like a fake smile, but yeah, I got to do it. And yeah, it's just, I don't know. The Brady thing kind of irritated me. Put a smile on your face with Jericho.
I think the photo that I have with Tom Brady, I think Brady put his arm around me.
Oh, you met Brady?
Oh, yeah. Years ago, Troy Brown had a bingo game.
Ooh.
And Tom Brady. Well, so when I worked at EEI, there would be times where I'd fill in on the morning show and Tom Brady would do his weekly hit with John Dennis and Jerry Callahan.
Sure.
So like I had at least that to go off of. Yeah. Hey, like you've called the radio station and we've talked maybe three or four times.
Yeah.
And then I drop the name of Steve Chaccio and it's like, oh yeah, I love Chach. And then, you know.
Oh, nice. Look at that.
Yeah. Chach actually did something for me for once.
Well,
no, I love Chach. I can take that dig at him.
Well, I can, if we're going to brag about Brady here, Jimmy, the best I can get is that I was in Tom versus Time twice.
Oh yeah. That's right.
Episode 1 and 2. So
that's right.
There you go.
I do want to close with this one thing, speaking of legends.
Yes.
Because this bothered me.
Same.
So at the end of AEW Dynamite, Jim Ross called it WWE Dynamite. And Jim Ross has made a few mistakes, but I'm okay with it because it's Jim Ross. And Jim Ross is one of the biggest wrestling fans that any of us know. He has been a part of so many great moments, so many impassioned moments that we could recite to this day. And the fact that social media wants to go out and cancel Jim Ross because he's at the end of his career and he made a small mistake because, I don't know, he worked for WWE for, what, 20 years?
Yeah.
So he's going to have a slip or two. And in this world, you have to throw a perfect game every night. Otherwise, nope, got to cancel him. Jim Ross, for a lot of people, his passion of being a fan and letting that out through the television screen to us made and helped so many. It enhanced what we were seeing in front of us. And for people not to have an appreciation for that, for people just to want to cancel Jim Ross because he's older. He's not the same Jim Ross that he was when he was calling Steve Austin's first title win at WrestleMania 14 at TD Garden, when he's calling Mick Foley being thrown off of Hell in a Cell, when he's calling whatever moment it was if you want to date back to his Mid-South career, his National Wrestling Alliance career, his WCW career, his WWF career, his WWE career, he's still in some of his AEW moments. Jon Moxley wanted him to call one of his world championship fights during the pandemic. So they set it up so Jim Ross could call it. There is there is not a better big match pro wrestling announcer than Jim Ross. So he made a mistake. Get over yourselves. Understand that Jim Ross is a major fan of pro wrestling. He is a major supporter of pro wrestling. He is pro wrestling's best salesman. And Jim Ross cares so much about what he does that Jim Ross is probably beating himself up, looking at social media, being like, yep, I screwed up. But if you listen to Grill and JR, you know how much he cares about wrestling. You know how much he cares about getting it right. He's not mailing it in. I promise you, he's not mailing it in. He cares as much as you do, as much as I do, as much as Mike Riley does about pro wrestling, the success of pro wrestling. Because here's something for you. Jim Ross has made a ton of money being a pro wrestling fan. And he has done pro wrestling on every level. And give the guy a break, okay? Because here's what's going to happen. Here's the reality of the situation. A year or two from now, Jim Ross is going to call it a career. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to travel anymore because live events are happening. Jim Ross has enough money. He's good. He's good. His grandkids are taken care of if they want to be, as long as they don't go down to the casino and just drop a million on something. Like, his grandkids are good. So Jim Ross doesn't need the money. Jim Ross is still a play-by-play voice and a broadcaster in wrestling because he loves it. He loves it like I do. He loves it like Mike does. He loves it like many of the fans do. So give the guy a break for making a mistake, because I'm sure that you've made a mistake in your profession. God knows I have. I've made plenty of mistakes. I have survived all of them so far. There'll be a mistake that I won't survive. We'll get there at some point. But yep. But Jim Ross is a major fan of pro wrestling. He deserves a little bit of a leash here as he's going into retirement, because a year from now, 2 years from now, when there's no Jim Ross, and it's Aiden Vernick, Aiden Vick, Aiden Burke, whatever,
yeah,
filling in. It's Jonathan Coachman trying to do play-by-play. It's Mike Adamley trying to do play-by-play.
Yeah.
You're going to dump on him because he's not Jim Ross, because he's not Tony Schiavone, because he's not Michael Cole. Yes, I did put Michael Cole in the same sentence there. Because you know what? For as hard as we are on Michael Cole, that is how he's being told to broadcast, is promote this, promote that. It is not an easy job when you have somebody screaming in your ear and you have two other voices who might be screaming, who might be at a pleasant tone, but you don't know. But the way that Michael Cole does SmackDown is the way that the guy who signs his checks wants him to do SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
If Joey Styles always had a governor on him, he would be a totally different announcer. And by the way, he was from the original ECW to when he did the WWE run, when Edge cashed in and that great Ric Flair match against Triple H in the cage at Cyber Tuesday, Taboo Tuesday, whatever it was.
Yep.
Joey Styles was a different announcer in WWE because the guy who signed his checks wanted him to be that way. So back to Jim Ross. Jim Ross had success despite the guy in his ear who was verbally telling him, no, pal, do it this way. And Jim Ross still made it work. That is the true test of a great broadcaster. So if you want to dump on JR, you want to cancel JR, look at yourself and look at how many perfect games you've thrown in your life.
You know,
and the rant.
Jimmy, excellent rant. And I'm so glad you said all that, because I thought the same exact thing too. And I know Jim Ross had a little slip up this year too when he called Kenny Omega the WWE champion earlier this year. He got a couple of jabs thrown at him there on Twitter. And yeah, you know, like you said, embrace the guy. He's on the back end of his career right here. And you talk about how Jon Moxley wanted him to call a match. How about WrestleMania 33 with The Undertaker? He wanted Jim Ross to call that match with Roman Reigns. It was a dud of a match, but And yeah, thank God Jim Ross was on the call there because the match sucked. He makes everything better. You talk about those matches there. May I also present you this list? If it weren't for Jim Ross, as a talent relations individual, give the guy a little, give him a lot of leverage here. Let it go. Not only, this has nothing to do with announcing, but if it weren't for Jim Ross, Brock Lesnar would not have a job. John Cena, Mick Foley, Edge, Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock. He signed all of them to WWE contracts. Because of Jim Ross, those guys became part of our lives and superstars there. So he's going to screw up on the microphone on a little situation like that, but he also gave us fantastic talent who we've embraced as fans over the years. Don't forget about that. Let it go. Let it go. End of rant.
Just my closing thought here is, if you want to see how the fans really feel about JR, go to YouTube, type in Jim Ross Hall of Fame announcement. When they made the announcement of Jim Ross going into the Hall of Fame, Dusty Rhodes was on there and he said, Jim Ross makes you feel, he makes you care about what's going on. And when they cut from that video to the crowd, I believe it was Chicago. So good job, Chicago. That crowd gave him a standing ovation, so much so that it went longer than I think they had anticipated, because it just kept going and going and going. So good for JR for being a Hall of Famer. Good job, Jim Ross, for being arguably the greatest professional wrestling voice that we've ever had.
Amen to that.
All right, that's all I got.
Yeah, no, I thought you were going to end broadcast. There you go.
Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 985thesportshub.com and on the 985 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. Next episode, Bash at the Beach, will come out later this week. And then Money in the Bank preview, I've already talked to Joe Murray. Joe Murray's going to join us. He's going to hopefully make you some money, because they think betting on pro wrestling is legal.
Soon.
I don't know. We'll see. Yeah.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
The Dave McGilvery Finished Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.